Welcome to Fan Pregame, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now. Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert. We are pregaming USA and Finland game two of the Four Nations face-off. Just a little while away. Mike Kelly from NHL Network and SportLogic, etc. will join us in about 10 minutes. And then our American friend, Frank Saravalli, will join us at 6:40. And we will shore up our bet. And we will see how the Americans are feeling about what happened last night. Was so much fun. I'm glad that we just kicked it off on the right note.
Yeah, it is fan pregame. Let's postgame a little bit.
Yeah, because we get a chance.
Like, if last night just existed in a vacuum, and that's all we got. All we got from this latest run of international hockey was last night's game. I would just thank the powers that be, because it was absolutely sensational last night. Watching Sidney Crosby do his thing kind of set the tone for the entire tournament. Like, I don't know if it would have been different if the roles were reversed and Canada waited and what this game would look like. I think they needed Sidney Crosby to be like, oh no, this actually means a whole hell of a lot, and I'm going to make sure that this tournament does live up to anyone's high expectations of it. It was just an awesome night. It was an awesome game, an awesome conclusion. Great for Mitch Marner to get that goal. We'll see if that helps or changes or alters his career arc and narrative in any discernible way. It was just such a spectacular night at Bell Center, and I can't wait for tonight's encore.
I think, like, last night, the first 10 minutes from the ceremonies to the first goal, it was absolutely perfection. You got Mario, you got all the cheers, you got even Austin Matthews coming out and getting booed. Like, there was some fun camaraderie in it all. And then 56 seconds in, you get McDavid to Sidney to MacKinnon, and, like, you can't ask for anything better than that. That was just absolutely electric. That power play delivers. And, you know, it did have a little bit of a lull. That Canada-Sweden game did have a lull at times, but it set us up for an overtime where, you mentioned it, Mitch Marner gets, like, I mean, narratives galore here, at least in the city of Toronto, around that. But it's a big encore to follow here tonight. The USA and the Finns. The USA are heavy favorites, but so were the Canadians last night. And I think the Swedes proved that this game is maybe a little tighter than we had thought, or that you can't take your foot off the gas, because Canada, we went into that first period, that intermission, feeling really good about themselves. Swedes got into it, and it ended up being a game.
It did. It definitely set us up for some narratives, right? I mean, the Shea Theodore absence and looking at Drew Doughty's performance and seeing how much they needed out of Colton Parayko. I think a lot of people who are cheering for Canada can be thinking a little bit more about some of the selections on the back end. Of course, there's second guessing for Jordan Binnington, because the three goals he allowed in the game, well, one of them was unstoppable, but two of the three allowed in the game were a little bit shaky. So there are a lot of things to discuss, a lot of things to unpack coming out of that game. So it wasn't just like the perfect start for Canada. It was the perfect start, but it wasn't the perfect 60 plus minute start. Because, yeah, there's some actual adversity that they're going to have to deal with here, whether it's re-entering the goaltending discussion or, you know, finding out what you're going to do in the absence of Shea Theodore ahead of the big USA clash on Saturday night. But you're right. We get the encore tonight, USA and Finland. And I don't know if we saw, like, the two middle teams, the second and third best teams, at least on paper, between Canada and Sweden. Some would make that argument. But I think there's definitely an argument for this being the best and the worst team at the tournament in USA and Finland tonight. And that'll give us a bit of a look at how close these teams really are, because it was unbelievably close last night between Canada and Sweden, probably closer than Canadian fans wanted it to be. And if Finland can go toe-to-toe with the U.S., then all expectations regarding this tournament of who might win it, I think they could be thrown out the window, because we got, if this game is close, four nations that look like they could win on any night. So hopefully tonight can be that competitive game, despite the two teams looking a little bit different than that on paper.
We got a little bit of breaking adjacent news here. The Athletic's reporting.
Breaking adjacent is always exciting.
Yes, the Athletic is reporting that Team Canada is going to have Thomas Harley travel to Boston as their standby D in case of emergency. And there are some very interesting rules around this. Obviously, with Shea Theodore out, as you mentioned, there's rules about when you can call in somebody else. Canada can't just throw the next man in. But they asked for clarity on the NHL and NHLPA on what is allowed to be, I guess, acceptable in this situation with Theodore's injury. And this Athletic reporting that ultimately learning that they could have a player travel to the Boston area to remain at the ready in case of emergency before Monday's afternoon game against Finland at TD Garden or potentially a championship game. They were allowed to identify and notify a player that would be next up, but they have to play with the six they have left, and they can't drop below that. Then they could have that person in. So it's like, hey, Thomas Harley, hope you weren't in Cabo or doing anything exciting. Go to Boston and just be ready.
Yeah, that's interesting. Or maybe it's the one guy who was willing to be ready, or the one guy who was not having big plans, like going to Mexico, like Mackenzie Weegar. Again, we don't know what like the rank was of these defensemen, but I believe Elliot Friedman said on the post game last night that he made some sense. So maybe there was some discussion about that before, and he had heard that his name was in the mix, because frankly, Thomas Harley's a bit of a zag compared to what everybody was talking about in the lead up to this tournament. Like, if we're going the next best, did he make the second team for Canada? I'm not really sure. We could probably find that graphic in the back, but yeah, it was Mackenzie Weegar. It was Chris Tanev. It was go on down the line. And maybe the problem is that Chris Tanev's on a beach and Mackenzie Weegar's in Mexico, and Thomas Harley was available. And that's not to diminish Thomas Harley, because he's in the Hockey Canada, or on the Hockey Canada radar, for a reason. It'll be interesting to see if they have to go that route. And it kind of makes me think a little bit more about that Travis Sanheim selection, because immediately when it's like, oh, you have to use Travis Sanheim, they were like, okay, can we get a seventh defenseman here? I don't know if that's just a contingency plan or some current concerns about how Travis Sanheim can help Team Canada over the next couple of days.
Yeah, so apparently Elliot was on the Fan Hockey Show earlier and did mention this. So credit to Elliot saying that maybe next up would have been Thomas Harley, and it seems like that could be the case now. Put plans into action that this speculation will have Thomas Harley actually traveling to Boston to hopefully be available. But that means that somebody else has to get injured, so we don't really want to see that. Anyway, let's talk more about tonight's game. We will have lots of time to preview Canada, who will be next in action on Saturday night, of course, against Americans. We will see the Americans and their debut tonight, and that is a stacked team. Like, it is very, very good from top to bottom. You know, Connor Hellebuck, hey, probably going to win the Vezina. You've got a top line, or top couple lines of elite, elite goal scoring. I think Finland can put up a good fight. Like, they are a pretty gritty team.
They make it tough every single time.
Yeah, and they play with a lot of pride. They are a hard team to play against. They've got great goaltending and UC Saros, but it's their defense that has just been decimated, as we know. Like, they have gone through the ringer to try to just ice a healthy defense core. But up front, like, they have a lot of talent. So this game, we'll see. I mean, obviously, USA is heavily favored, but I don't know. After watching last night, I think they can still be real close.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, clearly the defense core is in, not shambles, but it's not as talented as it was. And it was left diminished, clearly, by the absence of Miro Heiskanen. And he was their everything. He was Quinn Hughes. He was Cale Makar. He was probably going to play 30 minutes a night in this tournament if he was available. And it really changes how the defensive pairings shake out. They are average to below average defensemen at the NHL level at best, with a top pairing of Nico Mikkola and Esa Lindell. But as much as the defensemen are their weakness, the defensive strength of their forwards, I think, is their strength. I mean, Alexander Barkov is arguably the best defensive forward
guys up there
in the game. Lustarinen and Lundell on that third line are two guys who were playing against top players for the opposition on Florida's run to the Stanley Cup final and winning the Stanley Cup. Sebastian Aho is a very responsible defensive forward. Arturi Lehkonen is a very responsible defensive winger. They have really, really good defensive players. They're just lacking in the defenseman side of things just a little bit. I wonder if it's just too much pressure in the end that a team like the United States can put on that back end. But Barkov's not going to make it easy for anyone to just run wild in a Team USA sweater. So I think Finland, I worry a little bit about the game in that it might be park the bus territory for Finland, where they're just trying to make this as low scoring as possible, and they don't open it up in the way that Sweden did against Canada last night. But I think they can make life a little bit difficult on Team USA tonight.
Yeah, I think so as well. And, you know, you're looking at the power play options, like, it's a pretty good power play for Finland. Line A, Hintz, Rantanen, Aho, Barkov. That's pretty elite stuff. On the American side, PP1 is Matthews, Eichel, Matthew Tkachuk, Hughes, and Fox. Like, what I wanted to see a little bit more last night was more power plays for both teams. That first one, I almost think, and not to say that the refs did this purposely, but a power play, the 50 seconds into the game and a goal right off the hop, like, Do you put your whistle away a little bit? Possibly. But I wanted to see that power play cook even more because it was absolutely gorgeous. So maybe we get a chance tonight. Maybe it opens up a little bit more and we see these teams get to have their top goal scorers on the ice. All right, let's talk to Mike Kelly of NHL Network, Prime Hockey and Director of Analytics and Insights at SportLogic. Joining us, Mike Kelly, we appreciate you coming on. I know you're Montreal. We saw lots of great clips from last night. Like, how's the vibe ahead of night two? I don't know how you can top what was last night.
Yeah, that was a good opener. I'll be honest, like early to mid second period, the game kind of lulled to sleep a bit. Canada was up 2-0. I'm like, this is getting a little sleepy. And then it got really exciting. So, you know, it was a great opener. The city, there's a buzz around the city. In the building last night was amazing. Like, it's the first best on best in Canada since the 2010 Olympics, right? And the fans here are so incredible generally anyways. Tonight, I'm interested to see. Like, I don't really know what to expect in terms of the atmosphere and all that. I think you're going to see, you know, a lot of fans from both sides. I'm really excited to watch both of these teams because the American team, like, you could argue they're more talented maybe than even Canada. And the Finnish team, like, their blue line's just been hammered with injuries, and that wasn't going to be a strength of theirs at the best of times. But if you watch Finland play international hockey at any level, any gender, they never go away and always play close games.
Yeah, definitely U.S. with the favorite. And I saw you reporting with, like, your SportLogic score, and I know a lot goes into it, but USA the favorite and Finland, you know, quite lower behind. And yet Sweden and Canada just 1 point away. When we look at the Americans as the favorite, what is the overarching reason why? Does it have to be Connor Hellebuck and their goaltending mismatch, or is their depth what really stands out to you when you put them as the favorite to win this one?
Yeah, so it was the goaltending that really stood out. And again, this is all based on, you know, data from this season alone, which is meaningful, but it's not everything. And when I ran, you know, putting all the player information in, averaging it out across forwards, defense, goalies, Canada came out slightly ahead of everyone else with the U.S. just behind them in terms of the strength of their forward group. Canada came out slightly ahead in defense as well. But it's a goaltending where the U.S. was the clear number one and Canada is number four of the four countries going into it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a four-game max tournament for any country, right? Like, any one of these 12 goalies could be stealing games in this tournament. Like, there's, so it's hard to put too much into it other than just what we know from what we've seen this year, which is Hellebuck, after winning the Vezina last year, is even having a better season this year, like a career year. And the guys Canada have, you know, Binnington been kind of okay. And, you know, last night he let in a couple of goals that were, you know, kind of okay. And then made some great saves when it really mattered. So, that is why, if it wasn't for the disparity in goal, I would actually, the model would have had Canada as the favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it showed itself last night, right? You mentioned it, a couple mm-hmm. okay goals from Jordan Binnington. He did make some great saves in overtime, but Philip Gustafson was better than Binnington on balance in the game, and Canada's forwards made sure that that didn't matter. And again, this is going to be the push and pull with Canada all tournament long, but I wonder what you do or what you would do with the goaltending for Canada now. It seemed to me that, like, they were like pushing everything in the direction of Binnington. We want it to work with Binnington. It is up to Binnington, or it's Binnington's crease until we have to swerve. Like, was there a swerve that was created last night through the play of Jordan Binnington? I frankly wish they didn't say anything at all and they got the free look if they wanted to, guilt-free look if they wanted to, at Aiden Hill against the Americans. But it feels like they have to make a statement on Jordan Binnington in order to see Aiden Hill. What would you do Saturday night?
I'd go back to Binnington, and I fully expect that's what Canada is going to do. But I get it. Like, I wasn't somebody sitting here trumpeting these three guys as the three guys that they should have been, or when they picked the team, I didn't think these were the three guys that they should have been at the time 2 months ago. But at this point, like, if you've got these three guys, I probably would have started with Binnington as well, because he does have that reputation as a guy where moments don't bother him, big moments, spotlight moments. He was really good in the playoffs a couple of years ago until he got hurt. And we know we won a cup, and I also know that was 6 years ago. But, you know, Aiden Hill is kind of a bigger blocker-type goalie. Bennington's more athletic. And Montembeau doesn't have a lot of that high-end pressure type of experience that the other two cup winners do have. So at this point, I think you go with Binnington. To your point, I did find it interesting that John Cooper, who I have an immense amount of respect for, kind of went out of his way to say that it's Binnington's net. Like, he's our guy, mm-hmm. as opposed to just saying he's starting game the first game and we'll see.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if that's like an overcorrection of saying, you're our guy, Jordan. Like, know that you're our guy, and really trying to put him in a comfortable place. But, you know, yeah, I'd go with Binnington again.
Yeah, it could be like a vote of confidence so he's not looking over his shoulder, but it might bite you a little bit if you have to make the decision to put Aiden Hill in net, and then it's like, oh.
Then you lost Binnington.
So, I mean, I'm not a coach, but that's a tough place to be in, specifically when you don't have a lot of wiggle room and you got to win. You probably got to win all these games, or at least go to overtime if you want to make the final. So it'll be interesting. We're talking to Mike Kelly of NHL Network. Okay, one more or two more maybe on just the Canada-Sweden game, because it was just so good. That Canada power play, we saw it 56 seconds in. Tic-tac-toe between some of the greatest. We had Paul Coffey on our show yesterday, and we were trying to, you know, hype up his Canada Cup power play unit, which was probably just as good. You look at the power play opportunities that a lot of these teams are going to get. I don't know how it can get much better than what we saw last night with Canada. Even though we only saw it, like, not enough, it was pretty glorious.
Yeah, not enough because they didn't have a ton of power plays. Mm-hmm. Not enough because they also scored so quickly into the power play. But that was like a curious thing, because we've seen power plays loaded with talent. Like, Pittsburgh's a good example over the last few years, where you've got Hall of Famers all over it, and it hasn't been great. So it's like, will it mesh? You don't know until you see it. And like the Swedish defenders, there might have well just been no penalty killers on the ice in that sequence, because they didn't even factor into it. And having McDavid go to Crosby, go to McKinnon for a goal that early, like, that's the three guys everyone wanted to see together. And the building just went nuts. It was a really, really cool, like, just watching it in the building, you're kind of left speechless for a second. You're like, did I just watch that? That was unbelievable. So it was fun. And the other thing, just to the point of like those star players, Canada in the first period obviously kind of dominated the game. Sweden barely had the puck. Watching the speed that these guys played with in that period specifically, I was saying to my producer, I'm like, I don't know what sport this is, but I love it. This is beautiful. Like, it was like hockey just in another stratosphere, especially those top two lines for Canada. Really cool.
It wasn't necessarily breathtaking seeing the 5-on-5 between McDavid, Reinhardt, and Marner in the game. And that wasn't the only thing that stood out as, like, not particularly convincing in the game, although Marner did clearly redeem himself for any potential shortcomings at 5-on-5 with that overtime winner. But I wonder, Mike, you know, you watching up close, if you could make one line change to this Canadian team, what would you do? Because it certainly wasn't perfect. There was one line that definitely stood out above the rest for me, and now they've got the Theodore absence to sort of deal with. But if you could make one tweak to John Cooper's lineup, what would you do?
That's a good question. I went through the numbers of the scoring chance and all these different things with these lines of 5-on-5 last night. The Cirelli line struggled the most. The third line with Marchand and Jarvis and Point, you could argue was its best line in terms of what it produced versus what it allowed. And yeah, you're right. It's not like the McDavid line dominated the game. McKinnon, Crosby, those guys had a really good game as well. So I don't know, like, maybe just because of that, if you were going to do something, maybe you get the speed of Konechny up at the top, scuffle something else around. Like, I frankly wouldn't do anything. It's a game and they're still trying to figure it out. And I do kind of like the way that it's set up. Maybe I'd play around with that just to add some, just another speedy guy to play with McDavid and see if, you know, that can help things along, but we'll see. Their next game's against the U.S., and they didn't get 3 points in the first game. Mm-hmm. So things can really get interesting if it doesn't go Canada's way against the U.S., and, like, that's the game that everybody here is just – it's going to be Saturday night at the Bell Center with Hall of Famers to be everywhere. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and I'm sure we'll hear it all the way from Toronto. Want to ask you just a couple more about tonight's game, USA-Finland, of course. Like, we mentioned USA looking obviously pretty star-studded, but a little respect for the Finns. They play hard, as you mentioned, and they have great goaltending. Like, where is their greatest path to an upset or push an OT or making this tournament something more than just a participation for them where they can make some noise?
Yeah, well, like you talk about, they always play a really well-structured game internationally. Their top six is really good. You know, Barkov, Rantanen, and Aho. It's on par with kind of the Canada, the U.S. to some degree. It's not that big of a drop-off. It's the depth at forward and then the decor. You know, Miro Heiskanen is really their only true number one guy. Like, the funny thing is so when I talk about that model that I did that ranked everything, Finland's decor actually grades out as a below-average NHL team decor, which is not ideal for a best-on-best tournament. And there's been a lot of talk about guys having to accept lesser roles on this team, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the Finnish defensemen are actually playing higher up in this lineup than they do on their NHL teams. So it's not ideal. But the path to victory for Finland, I think, is pretty simple. Like, Saros is going to have to be their best player. And beyond that, you try to keep the game close. Just pack the middle of the ice and try not to let the U.S. get inside in the offensive zone. And look to counter-strike. We see it all the time at, like, the junior tournament with, you know, countries that aren't at the caliber of the top teams. That's an extreme example. But I think it'll be some of that where it's like, obviously the Americans are going to have the puck more and they're going to tilt the ice. Can you just keep them out of the middle in front of your net and try to counter odd man attack and get a couple and win a 2-1 or 3-2 game, I guess.
Last one for you, Mike, on the Americans here. As Ailish mentioned, number one in your sports logic score, pretty convincingly, and as you mentioned, that's partly or mostly due to the power of their goaltending. But their forwards and their defensemen, like, it's a really, really good roster. There's no denying that. But I wonder, is there any way in which this team looks even remotely deficient to you? Like, is there something that could exist as an Achilles heel when looking at their roster?
Yeah, I didn't really see one like as an Achilles heel. I think, and like I'll say this as a proud Canadian, first of all, the one thing the model does not factor in is that Canada wins best on best tournaments. It's what we do.
We have more heart.
They have Sidney Crosby who doesn't lose games.
Sidney Crosby's won 26 straight games with that sweater on. Like, so let's factor that into the mix. But yeah, no, their forwards are elite, awesome, deep. The way that they structured the team, I think, addresses kind of penalty killing and grittiness and all those other things. The decor is great. I know they lost Quinn Hughes, but Jake Sanderson, you know, is a real high end puck possession player, not to the level of Quinn, but similar enough. So if he draws in, I think he could actually be an impactful player, let alone just fit in and be okay. So no, I wouldn't say there's any glaring deficiency. I think if you get to a point where it's Canada versus US Saturday or in the final game of the tournament, Canada's got the three best players in the world. Their high-end talent is higher. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's an advantage for Canada at that point. But, this American team, they look really good. I was talking to Mike Sullivan, about an hour ago when they arrived here at the rink, and I asked him specifically about the third line he put together with Miller and Boldy and Brady Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you just trying to, like...
It's an annoying line.
Annoy the hell out of every other country with putting these three guys together? He kind of laughed and was like... You know, they got a bit of everything, that, and they can defend and they can check and those things too. So they're going to be, you know, you get through that top six, which can score and do everything. And then it's like, oh yeah, that Miller line, that's going to be fun. I wouldn't say deficient, but nobody's perfect.
Oh, we're looking forward to seeing how it all shakes out. Mike, we appreciate your time ahead of the game tonight. Enjoy it and enjoy Saturday night specifically. I know that'll be a fun one. We'll chat soon.
All right, sounds good. Good talking to you.
Thanks so much. That's Mike Kelly of NHL Network, Prime Hockey and Director of Analytics and Insights of Sport Logic.
Yeah, I think Mike nailed it there. I don't think the Team USA has the top end that Canada has. I don't think they have that, like, intangible top end with Sidney Crosby either, where it's like, yeah, I've done this before. But their floor is definitely the highest in this tournament. Yeah. Like, you could throw their first line or their fourth line out as a first line in the NHL and not blink at all with Larkin, Trocheck, and Brock Nelson as their fourth line. The floor is really, really high, and it's going to make every shift very difficult. But again, do they have that guy who can step up and do something magical?
Maybe like it's Connor Hellebuck.
Last night, it could be Connor Hellebuck, could be Austin Matthews, Jack Eichel, Jack Hughes, Matthew Tkachuk's won a Stanley Cup. Like, there are guys who could fit the billing, but none of them have done it really yet. Like Eichel and Tkachuk, they've won Stanley Cups, but none of them have that like, oh, I did something like Sidney Crosby's done something. We'll see if someone can step into that role.
The international experience. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find anyone with that international experience, like some of the Canadians that we saw on the ice last night. And I think that is something that's hard to, it's hard to put in your numbers, you know, like, okay, yeah, you've won X amount of NHL games, but you've also captained Canada at every level and won everything. So I think we saw that last night. Like Sidney Crosby looked like the best player. He looked like he was 25 again. You could just tell every time he had the puck, that impact. Like, it was awesome to see. I felt like I was watching the Olympics again. Just, it was electric. So tonight,
he's recovering from an injury, too. That almost knocked him out of this tournament.
Did you see the video, and I know they talked about it on the panel, right before, I think it was Nate helping him put his jersey on?
I did see that. I thought it was like, more goofy.
I don't know. He looked like he... No, I was like, oh, God. And then he goes out and gets 3 assists, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter. He was sensational. It was so fun.
He's pretty unbelievable. So let's do some best bets for tonight. I've got a Betano best bet boost that I saw that I like. So it's Matthew.
Four-bar line?
No, I didn't set it up. I saw it on Betano.
Okay.
But we'll give me credit if you'd like. Matthews and Hughes to both score boosted to plus 800. So 8-1. And individually, I think the numbers are not even close. So if you want to parlay those guys together, 8-1, that's a special one on Betano. I also like Patrick Laine to score. So he's on power play one for Finland. He plays for the Montreal Canadiens. He's a big, like, national team moment guy. And I like him at, it was a plus 350 to get one tonight. I know it's going to be hard to score, but if you're going to pick one, how about the guy that's going to be on the power play on one of the top lines for Finland? Big moment, plays at the Bell Center, probably will get a good pop tonight when they introduce him. And I like him to, he's playing alongside Aho and Rupe Hintz. So I think he, if anyone could score, Patrick Laine.
Yeah, they got a nasty power play. I think that's the upset.
I want to see more power plays
path
too.
For Finland. Yeah, we'll see what happens in this game. With the Tkachuks on the ice, there could be some more power plays than there were last night. But Rantanen, Laine, Aho, Barkov, that's a pretty good power play structure to throw at any team. And as you mentioned, Matthews and Hughes, they are line mates with Jake Gensel. So that line will have to be big tonight for you if that one's going to hit at plus 800. I'm expecting a few goals. I'm expecting Finland to try and make this one not as entertaining as it was last night. I got the under 5.5 plus 105. Like, I could see this ending 3-4-1 for the United States.
Okay, so as long as my three goal scores.
Yeah, everything can hit and still hit the under. So I like that for now. Maybe this tournament just gets loose every game, but I'm not going to bet on it just yet. And the Thunder, 9.5-point favorites, Minnesota Timberwolves. Last night was the busy night ahead of the NBA All-Star game. Tonight's a little quieter, 5 games, I think, on the slate. But the Thunder, they just keep rolling. They just keep rolling, and the Timberwolves.
Never miss a chance to bet your Thunder.
I don't.
Even during the Four Nations.
And this is honestly a big line, but the Thunder have, like, the reserves who can beat pretty much anyone else's reserves. And if this is a 3-2-1 Cancun type of night, I'll take the Thunder reserves to cover the 9.5
on Sportsnet 1
over Minnesota
tonight.
And it's on
which
Sportsnet 1.
You can watch, but it's also up against USA Finland. That's on Sportsnet at 7:38.
I'm going to be flipping back and forth. Two screens.
You guys, during your commercial breaks, you've got lots to view. One other thing that we did some research for, I was wondering about Matthews versus Yusei Saros. He's got 4 goals in 5 games versus Saros, so I like him tonight to find the back of the net, which was one of the reasons why I like that boost. Okay, we'll take a quick break. Frank Saravalli will join us in about 10 minutes, but before that, we're going to go through some news from pitchers and catchers. Blue Jays, it's starting, folks. It is kicking up here down in Dunedin. So we got a couple little tidbits to go through. Of course, Bregman signed with the Red Sox as well. We heard from John Schneider. We heard from Ross Atkins. And we got some injury updates. So we'll go through that before we wrap up the show with Frank.
Hey, it's Blake Murphy.
And I'm Matt Bonner.
Join us weekday mornings at 11 as we break down all things Toronto Raptors.
It's the Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Fan Pregame on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan. We'll chat with Frank Saravalli from Montreal in about 5-ish minutes. But let's get to a little Blue Jays action. And it's sneaking up on us, folks. Vladdy's self-imposed disgust extension date is next week, Monday.
It's looming.
Before the full first day of spring training, which is Tuesday. So the it has to be done by Monday. Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel. I mean, Hector Gomez thinks it's happening, but I don't know who to trust. We heard from Ross Atkins today about the discussions with Vladdy Jr. And he said, quote, "We have worked exceptionally hard." He loves the word exceptionally. "We've worked exceptionally hard to find a way to keep him here for an extended period beyond this year, and we'll continue to do that." He also said that they will be very respectful of Guerrero's desire to cut talks off if no deal is in place by Tuesday's first full workout. And they understand his reasons why and adds that they'll, quote, "never close the door." So they'll probably just respect his needs, and we'll see what happens at the end of the season. But let's put a number on it. What's your percent chance that Monday we come in here and we're talking about a Vladdy extension?
That's tough. I guess I'll go 50-50 because I don't have a great answer for
you. I think 50-50 is pretty accurate.
I will say, though, everything with Vlad with a deadline reaches its deadline or gets very close to, right? Like every single time he has an arbitration thing, it goes down to the wire. True. Like that's just what Vladdy and the Blue Jays do. They wait until the last second to, I guess, get the last figure on the table from each side. It's just commonplace now for Vladdy.
Yeah, but this one's a little different. This is a massive, like, extension, and
yeah, but
you're either doing it
always,
or you're not doing it.
If that's how they always operate, like, why would that change?
Because ARB is ARB.
ARB's contentious.
A couple hundred grand one way or the other.
And like they're throwing mud
at
each
other. But this is, you're either the face of our franchise moving forward or you're going to leave in free agency and we won't not be able to afford you. Like
it may
the
be that binary.
The fork in the road
but...
feels humongous. Like if you let Vlad go to Monday and you don't sign him, I don't think Vlad will be a Blue Jay again. I think he'll go to free agency and the Mets and the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox will all say, "Here's 500, 600, how much do you want?" And the Blue Jays won't have the upper hand.
I kind of feel like that's already decided, though, if that's what Vlad wants to do. Now, again, there's like a number that must be met here, mm-hmm. I'm sure. But if Vlad's like, yeah, we'll talk. That sounds interesting, but we'll get back to you. Like, if it's like that, and Vlad has already made the decision that, you know, I am 10 months away from the New York Mets throwing boatloads of money
at me.
Then the decision's made.
And
but
we'll
like,
find out Monday when he doesn't sign
If there's still
anything.
That opportunity, like, I just think the Blue Jays will inch towards it like they always seem to do in every line of negotiation, and especially with Vladdy, because that's how it always goes with Vladdy. Like, I hope there is the offer that he would say yes to or be entertained to say yes to, like the thing that he's actually asking for. I hope it's on the table by the time we reach that deadline because, yeah, I mean, all this stuff, lip service, exceptionally hard. We're working exceptionally hard to get this done. Like, if you're not actually putting the figure that's going to get it done out there by that point, then you're not working hard enough. That's just the reality of it. Or you're not given the opportunity through your financial constraints to work that hard. It's really not about hard work. It's about these two deciding whether or not there's a figure that they're going to agree on and whether or not Vladdy actually wants to spend the next decade here or an additional decade here. If it's possible, I think it'll get done. But if both of them have different ideas about what the future may look like, then it won't get done.
Well stated.
Thank you.
It's either going to get done because they agree or it won't get done because they don't agree.
No, it's going to get done because they want it or it's not going to get done because they
don't. I
don't
know why you wouldn't want it. That's the thing that I'm just...
From both, which side? Well, they put a price tag on literally everything.
Yeah.
They involved themselves in everything, put a price tag on it. And if it falls under the filtered threshold that they have established for themselves, then they jump on that.
They're thinking
piece.
With their calculators and not their heart.
I thought you were being sincere with that analysis. But I digress.
what do you mean?
Yeah, they think they have a price tag that they're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Vladdy probably has a figure that he would forego the opportunity to jump at. And if it's close enough, I think they'll find a way. But if it's far enough, then they won't find a way. But again, it's about needs and wants. And both the Blue Jays and Vladdy have needs and wants.
Yeah, and we need and want to know how this is going to end up by Monday. We shall keep you updated. It'll be an interesting weekend. I'm sure we'll get some tidbits from Dunedin. Let's talk to Frank Saravelli, president of Hockey Canada at Daily Faceoff, who went from the Super Bowl to the Four Nations and now to speak with us. Frank, congrats on
nice
your
life.
Eagles. How's it going?
It's good. It's been a heck of a week. Incredibly fortunate to be able to take my son and to then transition to what's a pretty phenomenal hockey tournament. Any of the haters out there, I hope you, you know, at some point, as everyone was freaking out during the third period, you tuned in and saw what we've all been talking about.
More entertaining, Super Bowl 59 or last night?
From a personal perspective, Super Bowl 59.
Really?
I mean, look, of course, he's an Eagles fan.
It was a garbage game.
Like,
it was the worst game ever.
I would love to be there as a blowout.
Whoa. So, all right, put yourself in my shoes, okay?
All right.
You bring your 10-year-old son to New Orleans. Your team is up 34-0 in the third quarter against a near-dynasty Chiefs team, and you're crushing Patrick Mahomes all game to the point where you look around you in the upper deck, and it's all Eagles green, and you're doing the mock KC chop.
Oh. Wow.
Tell me how many things in life get better than that.
I honestly thought of you like during that, and I said, if he's going to go and he's getting a blowout, he's going to have the time of his life. Like, I, as a Bills fan, I wanted the Eagles to win too, so I'm glad that you got once-in-a-lifetime experience. Like, you might never get that again, Frank, so I'm glad you got to see it and your son, and that's very special.
We walked out of the building, and he said, Dad, can we do that again next year? And I said, buddy, that's not how sports work. This is your introduction to... Like, this may be the only time in your lifetime that you watch your team win, let alone to do it in person.
We did talk about how great the Eagles, like, not to get off track, we'll talk about the Four Nation face-off, but Justin and I came on Monday and talked about how, like, the Eagles are set to do this maybe for, not to jinx it.
They might do it again.
But they might do it again. Like, they're young. They've got, like, Jalen Hurts looks amazing. That D-line, like, everything looked, I don't want to jinx your team, but I don't think it will be a long time till we see them in a position like that again. Like, you better feel somewhat confident about that.
Well, that just means next year, then I need to bring my daughter.
Oh, there you go. Do you need a babysitter?
Sorry, bud. You bring them both.
Yeah, bring them both. Okay, Frank, let's talk about... actually, we have business. We need to finalize our bet because we're kind of confused
we're
on
it.
Okay, so if Canada and USA play in the final, then the bet goes forward. If they don't play in the final, do you want to void the bet or do you want to go by points who had more points?
No, I think I'm willing to put it on the line that even if they don't make the final, the bet is still on.
Okay. Let's handshake through.
Do you think my fellow Canadians will hate me given the current state
of our relationship right now? Do I want to be the Statue of Liberty on TV?
It'll be fine, right?
Hey, a bet's a bet, and a Lannister always pays his debts.
Okay, well, hopefully we don't get...
You're a beaver.
We don't get canceled. Thoughts on last night, Sidney Crosby being like aging backwards, Marner scoring the OT winner, the atmosphere, like just walk us through like your biggest takeaways from night one of Best on Best.
First off, electric, everything that I thought it might be. And maybe the game was a little bit closer than perhaps some had envisioned. But I think you're taking a Team Canada team that has the superstars of all superstars and the juggernaut offensive lineup, and you're going against a team in Team Sweden who has arguably the best defense core in this tournament. Victor Hedman, Matthias Ekholm. You're able to throw some big, burly Swedes at a Canadian team that's a vaunted attack, and you try and slow them down through the neutral zone. And that's exactly what they did. They played the last half of that game, if you're Team Sweden, almost to perfection to give your team a chance to win. And I look at Canada moving forward as being better off for having had that experience. I really take a lot of stock into some of the stories that John Cooper told after the game, including, you know, a time when he has to shorten the bench. He's dealing with guys who are all-stars in their team. They're dealing with ice time being cut down. And those are the loudest guys on the bench cheering that team on. And they had plenty of opportunities to win it in overtime. Nathan MacKinnon had at least four on a stick. It's one of the best 3-on-3 overtimes I've seen. And every part about it was fantastic, from Mario Lemieux and the pregame puck drop to Sidney Crosby and his name being chanted. And this whole conversation of we had anointed Connor McDavid as the best player in the NHL for the last few years. And now it's just a reminder that, A, what could have been in Pittsburgh had Sidney Crosby been surrounded by better talent these last couple of years, and B, that maybe he's not going to go so quietly into the night as we hand off that mantle to McDavid.
Is he the ultimate secret weapon in this tournament? Like, there's no one else in his category, right? Like, you look at the U.S. team, these guys haven't been on the stage before. Most of the Canadian team haven't really, other than Drew Doughty, been on the stage before. You know, maybe there's a couple Swedes and Finns that can draw on some previous experience. But Sidney Crosby is completely different in a class by himself in terms of the back class at an international level that he brings. And I can't, like, I probably would have poo-pooed that idea 24 hours ago. But you see him go out there and absolutely dominate the game and lead his team in every sense, including an emotional one. And I can't help but think, who's the USA's Sidney Crosby?
I guess my only quibble with your question is to call him a secret weapon. What's so secret about Sidney Crosby,
he's the most older,
decorated player? And but what? It's not like this is a guy that had 90 plus points last year in the NHL. He's 22-0 in a Team Canada sweater. The numbers are ridiculous. The trophy case couldn't be more full. The Stanley Cups, the Olympic gold medals. What's the secret here? That's the only part.
It would be not the 90 points, but the everything else that he brings that you can't put a number on per se.
And that's special, and that's a big reason why I have Canada as the clear favorite in this tournament. It's not just the talent. It's also the pedigree, and it's the experience. Look at the Team USA roster. You've got Matthew Tkachuk, Jake Guentzel is a two-time winner, and Jack Eichel is recently minted.
That's it.
Outside of that, who's won Stanley Cups for you? Who's had super deep playoff runs? Then you turn the page to Team Canada. Not only do you have Crosby and Drew Doughty still there from Vancouver, but you've got Sam Reinhart, Sam Bennett, Nathan MacKinnon, Javon Taves. Go through the list.
15 Stanley Cup champions on the roster last night.
And Brad Marchand, it's ridiculous. Like, go all the way through it and see the serial winning that Team Canada has done, led by the captain, who brings all those other extra things with him. It's a night and day stark difference, which is why I think this tournament is such an incredible opportunity to serve as not just the appetizer to the 2026 Olympics, but also for the United States to make a statement. Everyone's waiting for this moment where they put themselves on the map and say, we are challenging Canada once and for all for international hockey supremacy. But you got to win. You got to slay the 800-pound gorilla. Silver medals don't cut it anymore. With all due respect to Vancouver and Salt Lake, this has been a total change in the way that the American system has been looked at. This is the best collection of firepower that's ever been assembled for the Americans. And those aren't my words. Those are the words of Mike Ruzioni to me yesterday on the phone, talking about his dinner with Team USA on Monday. This is a totally different U.S. class, and they have to deliver. And that starts tonight.
Just one more back on Canada, because I'm curious what you've heard about how and if they can add somebody to replace Shea Theodore. A big loss right away in the tournament, depth-wise, is going to be tested on the back end. Seeing that maybe they've contacted Thomas Harley to secretly be working out in Boston in case he's needed, like, what are the rules, and maybe should we have thought ahead about having them a bit more adaptable if there was injury?
I don't know. Look, I'm not poo-pooing any reporting, because obviously Team Canada is doing the work behind the scenes. It's not the reporting at all. And Chris Johnson is the one who reported that Thomas Harley will be heading to Boston as a sort of emergency replacement if needed. However, we're also getting ahead of ourselves. Like, you still need another injury to happen, and to think that you can't get through two or three more games without an injury, I mean, you should be able to. Now, is it a guarantee? Of course not. But to think that you needed more players than this, I think would be an unfair ask. I think it's already a really tough situation to have Travis Sanheim and Sam Bennett sitting in the press box last night when they could be sitting on a beach in Cancun sipping cervezas and watching that game on TV. As great as the honor is to be part of it, not really a big honor to be the guy that's been told you're a healthy scratch. So Sanheim will draw in. The great versatility that he has, and one of the big reasons he was selected, is that he has the ability to play both sides on defense. And I think he's going to be a big part, needless to say, of what happens moving forward. And I would plug him right in on that Shea Theodore spot on a pair with Drew Doughty. But that said, to think that we need to think nine steps down the line, I get why you do it if you're a management team, but these players, the rest of them, deserve a chance to get a break, because that's what this should be if you're not on the team.
Yeah, I found it a little interesting. They're like, okay, we got to play Sanheim now. What are the rules to get someone else in? I thought it was a little interesting that they went that route. But
Can he skate with the team? Can he be part? Is he going to get some Team Canada swag? What's the, like,
at least
all
a stipend.
The questions, and it's like,
give him an allowance.
Come on, like, just going to Boston. Just let's get there first would be my point.
Punching bag ability for Finland. Like, is this an opportunity for the U.S. on a good night to beat up on an opponent?
I think so. I've made the joke all week that I would call this the 3.5 nations tournament because it's really, that's how banged up this Finnish blue line is. You're talking about players sitting out. How about Ville Heinola from the Winnipeg Jets? The only Finnish defenseman not part of this tournament that's playing in the league. So they've had to dig deep. It's unfortunate because I think we would all have liked to have seen this Finnish team with a more complete roster with Miro Heiskanen, who's a game changer, and Rasmus Ristolainen, who's out. That said, the Finns are plucky and they compete and they've got a stick-to-itiveness that's been a hallmark of their country, not just on the ice, but really off the ice too, and defending themselves against Russia and all foreign enemies. So it's part of their DNA, quite literally. And so they're incredibly proud and they're a country that's going to work. And the other part of it is with Alexander Barkov and Mikael Granlund and on their roster, they're the biggest brains in the tournament. And they can think their way around the ice and they can make life difficult, much in the same way that Sweden did for Canada on Wednesday night. That said, I think the U.S. should overwhelm them. UC Saros has been very average in net for the Nashville Predators this year. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why, if you check the betting odds, if you move the spread around, that the U.S. to win by 3 or more goals is not really even that juicy of a line.
No, I was looking for some value, Frank. I didn't see much. Quickly, because we only got about 2 minutes, we just want to ask you about, we aired the press conference yesterday with Gary Bettman and co., and we were just very impressed by the jovial, loving nature between Marty Walsh and Gary Bettman and the Players Association.
Some like thigh slaps.
It was they're like best buds. Like, what would you say the relationship status is at with all this Four Nations and international hockey coming back and where they're at?
I would say it's better than it's ever been. And that's a testament to the way that they've worked at it. It's a testament to the trust that exists. The fact that they're able to get an international calendar together that goes from 2026 to 2028, 2030 and 2032 and beyond, that's not something that they would have been able to accomplish previously. That said, getting from now till the end of a CBA negotiation is a horse of a different color. And I would say if, because of the jovial nature of this and because there has been really no negative energy to this point, if the NHL is going to interpret that as they're going to push Marty Walsh and the NHLPA over and take from them what they can, not saying that's their plan, but if that is part of it, that underestimate them at their own peril. That would be my message.
Okay. Ooh. Good parting words. We'll let you go, Frank. Enjoy this weekend. And we'll see you when our bet is probably settled, I think, by next week or right before.
Have you been Googling?
I took a look at what it would require, and Amazon can provide the items I need. But I won't need to press order. So
okay,
feel very
we'll
confident
see.
In my voice. All right. Thanks, Frank. Enjoy.
See you guys.
That's Frank Saravelli, president of Hockey Canada at dailyfaceoff.com. Yeah. So just to reiterate, if Canada loses in this tournament, I have to be the Statue of Liberty and Justin needs to be Uncle Sam, which I don't love anymore.
Yeah, I got the worst part of this.
No, Frank told me I needed to paint my face green. I can't go on the show with a green face.
Statue of Liberty is not even remotely
offensive. She's kind
of
cool.
I think people are going to hate me now that I'm dressed as Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
I need this Canada win more than anything
you
else.
You do it for your career, maybe.
A lot hinges on this for me.
Well, then also Frank had to dress as a moose.
Which is, again, nothing. I'll be a bald eagle.
So
we're a bald cat.
Why don't we change it? And
I don't know. I don't want to upset Frank.
No, I think if you spoke to him personally about the Uncle Sam.
Yeah, but we
issues.
Should be okay with it. Like, I guess we got something happening right now. There's a little contention between our two countries, but like we're best friends, we're neighbors, we'll get back to where we need to be, right?
Yeah,
no one will be mad at me for wearing a top hat with
I'm looking
stars
forward to seeing how Saturday night sounds at the Bell Center, because they made a note before the anthems yesterday to please respect the anthems. I think it'll be crazy on Saturday night.
Yeah,
well, it's gonna be loud in there. All right, we'll say goodnight for now. And that was the Fan Pregame, brought to you by Betano. The game starts now. See you tomorrow.